God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our epistle reading, especially Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, which says, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. This is our text. Many of you may know, some of you may not know, that recently the Balla family sort of expanded. No, we didn't have another child. Instead, we got another dog. Another furry dog, a little bit of a puppy, so to speak. And I will admit, this is now the second dog that the Balla family has had, and I remember the first time very vividly, not knowing how do you pick a puppy. Going to the place where the Golden Retriever puppies were, it was a small farm out in rural Nebraska, and telling the owner we would like to have a puppy. It was very much to my surprise because she told me that she had a couple dogs which just recently had puppies, and so we had our choice of a whole bunch of puppies. How do you pick a puppy? We didn't know all the ins and outs of how do you pick a puppy, so we just looked and saw a puppy and said, that one. That one now became part of the Balla family. We paid for the puppy. We named the puppy. We brought the puppy home. Plain, simple, to the point. Our text for today, I want to use this puppy analogy as a way of how God takes a look at us. In our text it says, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to His purpose and will. We have to remember that in one essence, God does the same thing. First of all, God desires that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And if I had to use my puppy analogy, God would say, I'll take them all. The Balla family couldn't handle all 13 puppies. One was enough, believe me. We're not God, but God chooses and elects all of us. He paid for each and every one of us. We paid cash for the puppy. He paid for us through the blood of His only dear Son, Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He names us, just as we named that first puppy. He names us through the water of His holy baptism, when God's name is placed on each and every one of us. And He brings us home. In His time, we are also brought home to live with Him in eternal life. The correlation is very, very much together. We are predestined for adoptions so that we can be with our Lord and Savior. It is His will. Unfortunately, as Christians, growing up still on this side of eternity, not yet brought to our eternal home, we may know that we are chosen. We may know that we are named. We may know that we have been bought with the price of the blood of the Lamb. But unfortunately, like good little puppies, we get into trouble. And one of the ways we get into trouble is, if you've ever seen a litter of puppies, is they like to bite at each other. Unfortunately, as Christians, we also like to bite at each other. Christians, in comparing themselves with the non-Christians, sometimes get a little bit of a bad idea that God has chosen them because of their different behavior. Or maybe that because of their conduct. Or maybe a better way of putting it, their lesser guilt. Well, I go back to the time when we first chose our first puppy. We weren't looking at necessarily at behavior so much. We were just looking at the puppy. So it is with God. God doesn't choose us because He knows that we're going to be different. He loves each and every one of us. But unfortunately, once we are chosen by God, we start thinking ourselves as a little bit better than the others, so to speak. But not so, as Scripture says. We need to remember that we were not chosen because of our better conduct or lesser guilt. We need to remember in all circumstances that compared with the unbelievers, we too have behaved wickedly. We ourselves are just as guilty before God as the non-Christians. Our current puppy likes to chew things. Likes to chew me. Likes to chew my family. Sometimes he'll chew the chew toys. And every once in a while just likes to drive me nuts by chewing furniture and even drywall. Believe me, we didn't pick this puppy because of any lesser guilt. This is truly a 100% puppy. It is being disobedient. But even in that disobedient, it is still loved and cherished by the family. If we took the opposite view that Christians are chosen because of our behavior, we immediately put ourselves out of the family. What would happen if I would say only those good boys and girls could be in the Balla family? Well, the puppy's got to go. And as I take a look at my own life, then I guess I got to go too. I am not any better. You see, as we take that opposite view that we are better than the non-Christians, we would be canceling our own membership in the kingdom of God. We would be joining the kingdom with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were condemned by Jesus. And this concept of adoption, not because of anything we have done, is not something new just to the New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, God had to reaffirm this same message to the people of Israel. I love this in Deuteronomy chapter 9. There's a couple verses 4 and 6 that really describe this. God is telling the people of Israel that it's not their own goodness that they are going to the promised land, but basically God is kicking the other people out because of their badness, so to speak. So through Moses he says, "Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is driving them out before you." And just to make sure that the point gets really hammered in, two verses later in verse 6, Moses continues, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people." Going back to my puppy analogy, the people of Israel, just like Christians today, are like that puppy. That puppy who likes to be disobedient. That puppy that likes to chew, even though I don't want it to chew on the furniture or the drywall or other things. But that puppy is still loved by our family. You see, we have to realize that we also are stubborn. We also have sinned. We also have disobeyed God's will. So how can we say that we are better than the non-Christians? We cannot. From 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes to Timothy to remind Timothy and us about God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Now, there are some who don't like this concept of adoption, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason why they don't like it is because they'd rather do something themselves. They'd rather be in control of their own destiny. They'd rather have it on their own terms. They would rather be self-righteous instead of taking on the righteousness that comes from God. But the truth of the matter is, if it was up to us, would we find merit within ourselves, within our own actions, to merit eternal life? The answer is no. Many of us still even act like puppies nowadays, being disobedient to God, no matter how old we are. No, God's grace must be there. It must be 100%. It isn't that God first loved us and now we take care of it from there. No, God's grace brings us to be with him in eternal life. God takes care of all of it, from beginning to end. We got to remember that as Christians, we are like that puppy in the puppy stage, chewing everything, including the drywall. Do we please our master when we do that? The answer is no. But are we still loved? The answer is yes. See, as Christians, we have to remember that we are adopted by God's grace. And that information is revealed to us through the Word of God and through the sacraments. So as Christians, we don't forsake God's grace, but we are drawn even more to it. Let me pick up one more analogy to sort of bring this new point home. We are now part of the family of God. And typically during these holiday times, what do families do? they get together. And this is exactly what takes place in the Christian family. We are of the family of God. We have these little family reunions, say, on a weekly basis, where we gather to hear God's word, where we gather to receive the sacrament, and we are reminded that, yes, we are part of God's family. As Matthew says in chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We have to remember, even though we are part of the family of God, we are still weak because sin is still within us. But because that sin is within us, it doesn't exclude us from the family of God. No, it means that we are just drawn to the family of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We may ask, well, when were we adopted? Well, first of all, we were chosen by God to be His child, even before we were born. From Romans chapter 9, verse 11, Paul writes, "Though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of His call." God chose us even before we were born. That means that it wasn't because of anything we have done. It's because of what God has done. You see, God did the paperwork. He's the one who named us. That became official at our baptism. And we've been sealed in that name, in that family of God, all the way up to redemption, to be in His eternal home. We have to remember the family of God loves, the family of God forgives, the family of God nurtures and reaffirms. So does the church. The church is where the family of God comes and gathers to reaffirm its familyness, so to speak, to reaffirm the love and forgiveness for each other, to nurture oneself in the Christian faith, and to reaffirm the family. This is what it means to be adopted, as God puts it in our text for today. As Paul reminds us, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. It is because of God's love that we are saved and we come to the knowledge of truth. Some people may be asking, well, what about those who are outside the family? Well, God loves them also. And in God's family, there is always room for one more. It's like the dinner table that always has that empty plate and the door open and saying, come on in. God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Using that as an example, then why are not all people saved? The only thing we can say, because of scriptures, they have chosen not to be there, not to be part of the family. It's not because they weren't paid for through the blood of Christ, because Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of everyone. It wasn't because God didn't want them, because God desires all people to be saved. Unfortunately, there are some that reject the faith. As Christians, however, adopted and chosen by God, it's not our job to start fingering them out and saying, look at you who are outside the family, don't come to this table, but just the opposite. Because we appreciate the love, the forgiveness that comes from God, we want to invite them to the family. We want them to be part of the family of God. We want them to be with us in eternal life. So on this day, as we are still in the Christmas season, we give thanks to God for sealing our redemption through the birth of that baby born in Bethlehem, through sending of His own Son who takes on flesh and blood and lives among us, as our gospel reading reminds us. We remember the purpose that why Jesus was sent, to pay the price, because our adoption does cost. So on this day, during this Christmas season, we remember and we give thanks and praise that we are adopted into God's family and we had nothing to do with it. It is purely by God's grace and His grace alone. So as the church sort of finishes up these 12 days of Christmas, we move into the next season, the season of Epiphany. And in that season, it has a special message and a special tone that God's word reaches out to the nations, to the non-Christians, to those who are still outside the family of God. Why? Because God does want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And as our text reminded us, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to His purpose, according to the purpose of His will. This is God's will. So as a loving family, we try to do God's will. We try to love one another, try to forgive one another, and try to reach out to those who still are outside the family of God. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we'd like to invite everyone to please fill out your names in the red pew pad folders, which are found toward the center aisle of each pew, as we invite our ushers to come forward for the gathering of our offerings. You're invited to stand as we join in singing the offertory as it's printed in our worship folder. Rejoice in the steadfast love and faithfulness of the everlasting Redeemer. Let us pray for all who journey through this world, the Church, all nations, and all in need. For the Church, which sojourns through this world as Israel once lived as pilgrims in Egypt, that she may always sing of the Father's steadfast love in His Son, and may abound in works of service, let us pray to the Lord. For the hospitals and social service agencies of this community, especially also overseas in Asia, that through their service to the sick, the unemployed, the poor, the troubled, and the dying, they may calm those who are in distress, bring them relief, and fill all whom they serve with wisdom and understanding. Let us pray to the Lord. For the elementary and secondary schools of this community, that through the knowledge teachers impart and the wisdom they instill, all children may grow into a life of service and resist every evil way, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, hospitalized, and shut in, especially Audrey Smith, that according to your will, they may find healing and rest in the Lord, the glory of their strength, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who grieve the loss that death brings, especially Richard Roseth and his family, that they might hope in the Lord's mercy showered upon them in the Christ child who shared our flesh.